This is Wednesday, November 9th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Mellon in Washington. Coming your way, a surprise ending for many to a highly contentious U.S. presidential campaign.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division.
Travel around the globe from Washington to London to Moscow to Beijing for reaction. Also ahead, Jill Malandrino joins us with the effect of the Trump win on the markets. You'll also hear what Hillary Clinton just said as she has admitted the loss in the election. It's all on today's International Edition. It is being called one of the greatest political upsets in U.S. political history. Republican Donald Trump defeating Democrat Hillary Clinton early Wednesday, and he will become the 45th president of the United States in January. Trump stunned the favored Clinton by winning several key states that traditionally vote Democratic, sending shockwaves around the country and around the world. Hillary Clinton has just delivered what's expected to be your final remarks at the presidential election after that devastating loss?
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for. And I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
Clinton urged her supporters at a New York hotel that by saying that she accepted the result, saying they owe Trump an open mind and a chance to lead. She says American democracy depends on peaceful transition of power. Joining us now is U.S. Senate correspondent Michael Bowman. Michael, as far as the election is concerned, what happened? I can't be any simpler than that. All right.
Well, that's going to be the subject of discussion and books and a lot of examination in political science classes for many years to come. And I would just say that I think that all of America's political class has egg on its face this morning. This is an election that everyone assumed Hillary Clinton was going to win. And there were some people predicting that the odds of a Clinton victory were northwards of 90%. Clearly, that did not happen. Clearly, Clinton lost. And there is some thought that the electorate that she was most counting on simply did not show up in the numbers that was assumed. And here we're talking about minority voters, women voters, perhaps college-educated Caucasians, and that there was a huge groundswell of support for Trump from groups that have felt downtrodden in the modern economy. And here we're talking about non-college-educated people.
Now, you talked to someone dealing with this who was, I've heard the interview, and I want to share some of it with our audience. Who'd you talk with?
Stan Collender. He has served on Capitol Hill. He's most known as a budget analyst, but he is wise in the ways of Washington and our political system.
There are some angry white folks who feel that they're not getting their fair share, and they're not getting their fair opportunity at fair share. And they were willing to do something rather dramatic to try to get it back.
So you see this as a matter of racial divides?
Well, racial divide, economic divide, and gender divide. I mean, try to imagine the average middle-class white male who sees immigrants coming in, people who weren't born in the United States who are getting opportunities that he or she that he doesn't have. He's seeing African Americans and his Hispanic citizens getting opportunities and maybe getting some preferences, and seeing women increasingly take the workforce. I mean, so a middle class male in the heartland of the United States may feel that he's under attack from a variety of different sources, different places, different genders, different demographics, and he just doesn't like it.
Well, that brings to question, Michael, a very important one, and that is the U.S. going back to that time where these type of prejudices are even rewarded or at the top of the list?
Well, I would... It's not for me to say whether the vote for Donald Trump was a vote of prejudice, obviously. That's for other people to say or to weigh in on. But look, Donald Trump did not earn as many votes as Mitt Romney did just 4 years ago. The difference here is that Hillary Clinton's vote was so astronomically lower than that of President Barack Obama. So there are two ways to look at this in terms of pushing and pulling. Yes, there was a groundswell of support from sort of poorly educated Caucasians in support of Donald Trump. But had Hillary Clinton matched President Barack Obama's numbers in terms of the turnout for the traditional Democratic forces, she might well have won. So yes, Donald Trump in a sense overperformed among one demographic, but Hillary Clinton vastly, vastly underperformed with the base that Democrats need to get elected.
Let's bring in Luis Ramirez, VOA's chief European correspondent. He is in London. And Luis, let's open this up just a little bit. How would you describe the reaction of the Trump win of European leaders? And what's the overall feeling there?
Number one, of course, a shock, a great deal of uncertainty, because European leaders had by and large favored Hillary Clinton. To them, she is a known entity. There would be no surprises. What some voters in the United States would have interpreted as a lack of new ideas or a lack of a vision presented to European leaders, she represented a continuity of a policy that already exists, that is one of continued engagement. What Donald Trump represents through his remarks that he made in the campaign is getting rid of the order that exists, and that is, you know, by threatening to tear up trade agreements. Now, this is very much terrifying to leaders in the world, because this has been the trade agreements have been the backbone. They've been the cornerstone of American economic diplomacy since the end of World War II, and so. This explains why there was so much turbulence in the markets on Wednesday, and the concerns on the part of leaders. Now, the majority of them had refrained from weighing in, from giving any kind of opinion on what they thought of now President-elect Trump. In fact, on Wednesday, they were very slow to send their congratulations. The first congratulations came from Vladimir Putin of Russia. Later on, Angela Merkel of Germany sent her message of congratulations. It almost seemed like it was conditional that she would work with Trump, saying that she's counting on him to uphold a long list of values, of democratic values, of respect for people, and in regard to many things, including gender.
Well, Luis, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, let me get to a question a lot of people are asking, and that is, how is Europe so far dealing with the comments that Mr. Trump has made about Muslims, Hispanics, others? How are they sitting with these leaders? Or are they just not bringing it up?
Some are bringing them up. People, like I said, Merkel chose not to during the campaign, as did Britain's Theresa May. In the case of others, like France's François Hollande, he was very direct. He said, in the case of one of those the remarks that Mr. Trump made during the campaign, he said that those remarks made him wretch. Very forthcoming in his dislike of Mr. Trump. The overall message since it was confirmed that he won the election is that they will work with him, that the relationships that already exist between the nations of Europe and America are so strong that they will work with any leader who the American people elect.
Luis Ramirez joining us live from London. Thank you so much, Luis.
Good to be with you.
Let's take it out of Moscow, where VOA correspondent Daniel Scharf is stationed. Daniel, there almost seems to be an atmosphere of relief so far in the comments made by Russian officials over the Trump victory. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, certainly we're seeing a lot of welcoming words towards the Trump victory. Russian President Vladimir Putin congratulating him and saying that he hoped to work together with him, lifting relations out of what he called the current crisis, working to resolve international issues, respond to global security challenges, and so forth. And we've seen that similar message repeated by various Russian officials and politicians. For the most part, I think we're still seeing a sense of caution, at least from political analysts here in Moscow. They feel like although the Kremlin had leaned in some ways towards a Trump victory with Russian state media, and of course Putin and Trump exchanging praise for each other, he's still very much an unknown person, an unknown quantity compared to Hillary Clinton. With Clinton, the Kremlin knew what it would be getting, whereas with Trump, although he's made some friendly statements towards Russia, he doesn't really have a clear policy in terms of how he's going to address the various thorny issues between the two sides, such as Ukraine, such as Syria, sanctions against Russia. So all of these fundamental specific issues are really what the Kremlin is going to be watching. But certainly a Trump victory does at least create a little bit more of an atmosphere of turning the page, being able to start over, sit down at the table, and really negotiate how the bilateral relationship is going to move forward. But how it will move forward is the real question.
Do you expect Moscow to come through with any kind of initial move towards some kind of conciliation between what has been a widening rift between the U.S. and Russia?
I would imagine that there's a lot of discussion right now inside the Kremlin among Russian officials, what kind of signal they want to send other than congratulations and hope we can, you know, move forward with our relationship and so forth, whether or not they should offer some kind of concession or send a message of some sort to really show that they're willing to bend a little bit if a President Trump would be willing to bend in ways towards Moscow the way it wants to see on these issues, such as Ukraine and Syria. Of course, you know, we've got still a couple good months here before President Trump will be inaugurated. So, you know, he's president-elect right now, and that means that he can't make any decisions at this point. And Moscow knows that. So I think they're going to be cautious in the weeks ahead in really, you know, making any big or dramatic moves. But certainly once he's in office, I imagine there will be a lot of tactical discussion about how to proceed with the relationship to try and get what the Kremlin wants. But of course, we don't know exactly how Trump is going to be approaching this and how he is going to be responding to whatever moves might be coming out of Moscow. So it's still very much up in the air.
VOA correspondent Daniel Scharf joining us from Moscow. Daniel, thanks so much. And this is International Edition from the Voice of America. We are awaiting comments from U.S. President Barack Obama. He has not said anything, basically, except congratulating Donald Trump, which I'm sure he will do again. He is expected to come through with his comments in just a few minutes. And Andrew Palcheski, while we wait for that, why don't we just see what's happening as far as social media is concerned?
Well, we have these two phrases that are trending on social media, and they're kind of variations. We have President-elect Trump and President-elect Donald Trump. That's kind of one of the phrases that's trending. And the other one is hashtag still with her and hashtag I'm still with her from Hillary Clinton supporters who are staying there standing by their candidate even though she lost. So you're seeing those two kind of groups trending on social media. And then as far as the emotions, you're seeing fear from a lot of people. They're fearful of what Donald Trump has said about the campaign promises that he's made, about the direction that America might go in. There's a lot of excitement from the Trump supporters about what this means, and they say power to the people. You're seeing a lot of people use the phrase America's Brexit, and they're saying this is the kind of vote that the UK did for Brexit, where people had the power, and they're doing this in the presidential election. And the one thing I'm struck by, a lot of reconciliation on social media, you're seeing a lot of the Republicans especially who didn't back Donald Trump are coming out now and saying, congratulations, we're going to work with you. We look forward to having you as president, including Speaker Paul Ryan, George H.W. Bush, the former president, and others.
Well, President Obama is now approaching the microphone, and let's bring up the audio on that so we don't miss any of it.
I shot a video that some of you may have seen, in which I said to the American people, regardless of which side you were on in the election, regardless of whether your candidate won or lost, the sun would come up in the morning. And that is one bit of prognosticating that actually came true. The sun is up. And I know everybody had a long night. I did as well. I had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump last night, about 3:30 in the morning, I think it was, to congratulate him on winning the election. And I had a chance to invite him to come to the White House tomorrow to talk about making sure that there is a successful transition between our presidencies. Now, it is no secret that the President-elect and I have some pretty significant differences. But remember, 8 years ago, President Bush and I had some pretty significant differences. But President Bush's team could not have been more professional or more gracious in making sure we had a smooth transition so that we could hit the ground running. And one thing you realize quickly in this job is that the presidency and the vice presidency is bigger than any of us. So I have instructed my team to follow the example that President Bush's team set 8 years ago and work as hard as we can to make sure that this is a successful transition for the president-elect, because we are now all rooting for his success in uniting and leading the country. The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy, and over the next few months, we are going to show that to the world. I also had a chance last night to speak with Secretary Clinton, and I just had a chance to hear her remarks. I could not be prouder of her. She has lived an extraordinary life of public service. She was a great First Lady. She was an outstanding senator for the state of New York. And she could not have been a better Secretary of State. I'm proud of her. A lot of Americans look up to her. Her candidacy and nomination was historic and sends a message to our daughters all across the country that they can achieve at the highest levels of politics. And I'm absolutely confident that she and President Clinton will continue to do great work for people here in the United States and all around the world. Now, everybody is sad when their side loses an election. But the day after, we have to remember that we're actually all on one team. This is an intramural scrimmage. We're not Democrats first. We're not Republicans first. We are Americans first. We're patriots first. We all want what's best for this country. That's what I heard in Mr. Trump's remarks last night. That's what I heard when I spoke to him directly. And I was heartened by that. That's what the country needs. A sense of unity, a sense of inclusion, a respect for our institutions, our way of life, rule of law, and a respect for each other. I hope that he maintains that spirit throughout this transition, and I certainly hope that's how his presidency has a chance to begin. I also told my team today to keep their heads up, because the remarkable work that they have done day in, day out, often without a lot of fanfare, often with a lot of attention, work in agencies, work in obscure areas of policy that make government run better and make it more responsive and make it more efficient and make it more service-friendly so that it's actually helping more people. That remarkable work has left the next president with a stronger, better country than the one that existed 8 years ago. So win or lose in this election, that was always our mission. That was our mission from day one. And everyone on my team should be extraordinarily proud of everything that they have done. And so should all the Americans that I've had a chance to meet all across this country, who do the hard work of building on that progress every single day. Teachers in schools, doctors in an ER clinic, small businesses putting their all into starting something up, making sure they're treating their employees well. All the important work that's done by moms and dads and families and congregations in every state. The work of perfecting this union. So this was a long and hard-fought campaign. A lot of our fellow Americans are exultant today. A lot of Americans are less so. But that's the nature of campaigns. That's the nature of democracy. It is hard and sometimes contentious and noisy. It's not always inspiring. But to the young people who got into politics for the first time and may be disappointed by the results, I just want you to know you have to stay encouraged. Don't get cynical. Don't ever think you can't make a difference. As Secretary Clinton said this morning, fighting for what is right is worth it. Sometimes you lose an argument. Sometimes you lose an election. You know, the path that this country has taken has never been a straight line. We zig and zag, and sometimes we move in ways that some people think is forward and others think is moving back. And that's okay. I've lost elections before. Joe hasn't, but, you know. So I've been sort of sharing.
Remember, you beat me badly.
That's the way politics works sometimes. We try really hard to persuade people that we're right. And then people vote. And then if we lose, we learn from our mistakes, we do some reflection, we lick our wounds, we brush ourselves off, we get back in the arena, we go at it, we try even harder the next time. The point, though, is that we all go forward with a presumption of good faith in our fellow citizens. Because that presumption of good faith is essential to a vibrant and functioning democracy. That's how this country has moved forward for 240 years. That's how we've pushed boundaries and promoted freedom around the world. That's how we've expanded the rights of our founding to reach all of our citizens. It's how we have come this far. And that's why I'm confident that this incredible journey that we're on as Americans will go on. And I'm looking forward to doing everything that I can to make sure that the next president is successful in that. I've said before, I think of this job as being a relay runner. You take the baton, you run your best race, and hopefully by the time you hand it off, you're a little further ahead. You've made a little progress. And I can say that we've done that, and I want to make sure that handoff is well executed, because ultimately, we're all on the same team. All right? Thank you very much, everybody.
And that's going to wrap it up for us. You have heard U.S. President Barack Obama on this momentous and historic day. And you've been listening to International Edition. Find us at voanews.com, on Facebook at VOA Now. Follow us on Twitter at @VOA_IE. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media platforms as well with what is happening on this day. Thanks to our director, Patrice Martin, our engineer, Nick Ivanoff. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Thanks for being with us.